This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, March 18th. I'm Alex Osola for the Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, an obscure tech company called Supermicro Computer has made servers for 30 years. It's grown to a more than $60 billion company, and today it's joining the S&P 500. We'll find out what's next for Supermicro from WSJ Semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch. And then, federal authorities have launched a probe into Meta for its role in illicit drug sales on its platforms. WSJ reporter Salvador Rodriguez joins us to talk about what we know about the investigation and how it could impact the company. But first, NVIDIA isn't the only company that has profited from the artificial intelligence boom. Supermicro Computer, based in Silicon Valley, has seen its share value increase more than 12-fold in the past year. And today, Supermicro is joining the S&P 500. WSJ Semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch is here with more. Asa, what has gotten Supermicro to this point? Why is this happening now?
AI is why it's happening now. The company really has seized the AI moment, which started around late 2022 and has just gone up and up and up. Supermicro, more than many of its competitors, was able to get the chips that were in very high demand during that period as people were trying to train up or build these AI systems and send out tons and tons of servers to people who needed them. Big companies, big tech companies, everybody wants a piece of the AI cake. The shares have increased by many times their value in the past 12 months, and that's what's vaulted them into the S&P 500 in terms of the valuation of the company.
When we think about companies profiting from the AI boom these days, of course, we think of NVIDIA, which we've talked about many times. What is its relationship to Supermicro? Are they competitors? Are they collaborators? What is that like?
Yeah, so here's how it works. So NVIDIA makes chips, and these chips need to go somewhere. You can't just buy a chip, put it on your desk, and start using it. It's got to go into a box, basically. The box supplies the power to the chip. It supplies cooling. There's a lot of networking that, you know, allows it to connect and communicate with other chips elsewhere, perhaps in their data center. So Supermicro takes those NVIDIA chips, and it puts a bunch of them, or a few of them, or one of them, in a box, essentially. That box is called a server. So that's where it sits in the supply chain. It sells the server to, you know, one of these big companies, a Google or just some big corporate enterprise. Different types of AI need different types of computing power. Somebody who's developing self-driving car technology might need a different kind of computing setup than somebody who's doing a large language model like a ChatGPT. The thing that Supermicro does that kind of distinguishes itself from competitors is that it uses what it calls a quote-unquote building block approach to build its servers. So because it has these kinds of building blocks, it can put together things into any number of configurations for people, create an almost semi-custom kind of infrastructure, computing infrastructure.
Who are some of Supermicro's competitors?
Dell is probably the biggest one, and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is the other one. Those companies do a lot of the same things. They supply servers to all kinds of folks, and they make a lot more money, quite frankly, than Supermicro. Their revenues, though, have been relatively flat during this whole AI boom period, whereas Supermicro's have basically doubled. So those companies are sort of the established players. Supermicro is a little bit of the scrappier player who's coming up and doing interesting things.
What can we expect to see from Supermicro in the coming months?
We're certainly going to see the company expanding its manufacturing. They're trying to get to a point where they can make 5,000 server racks a month. And if they can do that and they can sell all that equipment, they believe they have capacity for more than $25 billion of annual revenue.
That was our semiconductors reporter, Asa Fitch. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, what could a federal probe into Meta mean for its users? That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Meta is in legal hot water again. U.S. prosecutors in Virginia have been sending subpoenas as they look into whether Meta's platforms are facilitating and profiting from the illicit sale of drugs. That's according to documents and people familiar with the matter. Though the probe may not result in formal charges, it could still have an impact on Meta and its users. WSJ reporter Salvador Rodriguez joins me now with more. Sal, what kinds of drugs are we talking about here?
It could be any kind of thing, but in my own exploration of Facebook, it's not tough to find marijuana for sale on Facebook Marketplace, for example, or magic mushrooms. We've heard of situations where folks are selling ingredients to make drugs wholesale or selling steroids, selling counterfeit pills. So it seems to be a pretty wide problem.
How does Meta potentially profit from these sales?
A way that Meta could potentially profit, theoretically, is if someone places an ad, which Meta draws revenue from, to draw attention to their personal account or maybe their page, and then if they are using those pages or accounts to conduct those kinds of sales, that would be one situation where Meta is indirectly profiting.
And users would potentially click on these ads thinking that they're getting the real deal and end up somewhere they didn't intend. Is that right?
It depends what kind of thing. If you're talking about counterfeit pills, for example, if you think you're doing something legitimate because you're seeing it on the world's top social media app, that would be the concern, especially if it's a situation where you are looking for a legitimate drug and maybe you wind up with something that puts you in a scary situation.
What has Meta said about this probe?
They said, quote, "The sale of illicit drugs is against our policies, and we work to find and remove this content from our services. Meta proactively cooperates with law enforcement authorities to help combat the sale and distribution of illicit drugs." And on Friday, Nick Clegg, Meta's president of global affairs, posted on X that the company had joined the Alliance to Prevent Drug Harms alongside the U.S. State Department and others to help disrupt the sale of synthetic drugs online and educate users about the risks. He said specifically, "The opioid epidemic is a major public health issue that requires action from all parts of US society." So it is something that the company says they're paying attention to. At this point in time, they have billions of users across all their apps, and that results in even more content. So it's a lot to police, and it's easy to get through their filters if you are determined to make a sale or if you are determined to make a purchase.
The FDA is helping with this investigation. What did the prosecutor's office and the FDA have to say when you reached out?
When our colleagues reached out, the prosecutor's office and a spokeswoman for the FDA, they declined to comment. So that's common for investigations. What we know is simply from these copies of subpoenas that we've had a chance to look at.
This isn't the first time that a social media company has been under scrutiny for the kinds of ads they've run and stuff that appears on their platform. Tell me what happened with Google in 2011.
Google had to forfeit $500 million for allowing online Canadian pharmacies to place ads targeting U.S. consumers. So that is probably the biggest example of the U.S. government cracking down on this kind of activity. And so it's been quite a while, more than a decade since that happened, but it certainly seems like this is coming to the forefront once again.
In the past, many social media companies have had some of their activities protected by this law called Section 230. What does that cover?
Section 230 boils down to protecting online platforms from not being liable for what their users post on their services, with a few exceptions. And so this is a law that has been talked about a lot in recent years. Last year, it was challenged, and that made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, although the court decided to leave core elements of it unchanged. But this is essentially what shields social media platforms from really being responsible for anything that their users post. Certainly, you would have to imagine that the social media apps would call that up in terms of defending themselves. Who knows? Perhaps there is another route that the prosecutors have in mind for whether or why these companies may be responsible.
What could we expect to see in the coming weeks and months?
That is a big question, because these investigations can tend to take a lot of time. You would imagine that the prosecutors want to gather as much information as possible, and who knows how long of a process that could be. The subpoena was delivered in late September, so it's already been going on for quite some time. And then the other thing as well is that these kinds of investigations don't always result in formal charges of wrongdoing. You know, another possibility is that nothing happens. But the fact that this is going on at all, that alone is noteworthy, because this just adds to the many legal headaches and situations that Meta already finds itself entangled with, whether it's complying with rule changes by the operating systems like Apple and Google, or new regulations in Europe, or, you know, cases involving the Federal Trade Commission here in the US. It's yet another legal situation for the company to have to dedicate some of its workforce to.
That was our reporter, Salvador Rodriguez. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.